The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So, as I mentioned earlier, dear friends, my name is Father Gregory Merkley, and I'm so happy to be here continuing on our Advent journey with you today at this beautiful, splendorous Basilica of Our Lady, as I have the privilege of helping out Father Ian just a little bit this weekend. And it really is a privilege for me to be here, and it's actually my first weekend saying public mass here at this basilica, so I want to thank you in advance for being merciful to me if I don't quite seem to know what I'm really doing sometimes. That's because every parish is a little different in its local customs. But I know you'll be merciful with me. Blessed are the merciful. In the liturgy of today's second Sunday of Advent, we're given an opportunity to reflect on the meaning of Advent and how to go perhaps deeper into the spirituality of this season of Advent. Seminarians or important people in the church or the world, or even just those who want to take their spiritual life to the next level, often have someone we call a spiritual director. And they're like a spiritual guide, a spiritual friend or mentor to help someone to hear and respond to the call of God in their life, in their daily realities, the practical realities of their life and their spiritual life, their prayers. And I once asked, while I was in the seminary, my spiritual director, how to get more out of the liturgical cycle of the church. And he shared with me an insight that I'd like to share with you now. He said that the liturgical year isn't merely cyclical like a wheel of Advent, Christmas, Ordinary Time, etc., repeat, but we should see it more like a spiral, with each grace-filled season taking us deeper and deeper into the center. And the center is God and a deeper relationship with him. As we come to live more faithfully what Jesus himself said was the greatest commandment of all, to love God with all one's heart, all one's mind, all your soul. Keyword, all. And during this Advent season, we have the grace to look deeper and see where perhaps am I not giving all to God? Where perhaps am I holding back with God? It's worth thinking about that even right now. I encourage you to think about that. Where, Holy Spirit, am I holding back from you? Do I fear trusting you where I do not surrender to your love and mercy in my life? The good news is, though, as we heard from St. Peter today, that God loves us unconditionally and he is patient because he wants us to return to him, to go deeper with him. And so the liturgical cycle isn't just for variety, to freshen or spice things up, but it's to go deeper every year, deeper in our walk with God, because this is a privileged time. Do you see Advent as a privileged time of grace? That's what it is. And God has particular graces and blessings He is longing to pour out on you personally in this season. If we are open, if we come to Him with open hands, then He can fill them with all the blessings He wants to give us, if our hearts are sincere, open. And so, God's love is incomprehensible. That's the context for Advent, of course. His mercy is boundless. There's no sin too big for God's mercy. God can't be outdone in generosity. And He wants to forgive us, heal us, bless us, and strengthen and guide us. These are, in fact, some of the spiritual truths I've come to take maybe more seriously in my life, especially after having returned to the Catholic faith just about 12 years ago, prior to that having lived as a practical atheist. But that's a story for another time. So how do we go deeper in this Advent time? I just want to briefly reflect with you today about what Advent is and how we can use it as that opportunity to plug in, to go deeper, to get more out of it so that we don't miss out on all that God lovingly wants to give us. As you know, Advent is so named from the Latin word adventus, which means coming or arrival, and it's the season during which we might say we prepare for three important comings of Christ. Firstly, we prepare to celebrate Christ's birth at Christmas. And since you and I weren't able to be there at the first coming of Christ, to see Mary hold and gently caress the baby Jesus, to bow down and worship with the wise men, to rejoice with the angels and the shepherds, this liturgical season gives us a chance to prepare ourselves almost as if we were going to receive Him for the first time, and also to celebrate and relish His first coming and all it has done for us through the incarnation of Christ, who revealed that He is a humble, loving, merciful, and patient God who wants to be one with us. The second coming that we prepare for during Advent is what we call the second coming. And that is when at the end of time, Christ will visibly return gloriously and be totally triumphant over all the powers of evil in this world. He will come again, as we hear in the Creed, to judge the living and the dead. And there will be, as we heard today, a new heavens and a new earth, a new restored order of creation, totally under God's reign, ultimately ordered to love, to holiness, godliness. God will be all in all and will sit rightfully on His throne in loving dominion over all who surrender to Him in their hearts and to His plan for their lives. And since no one knows the day or the hour of Christ's return, Christ enjoins us in His love to be watchful, to be ready, to be alert, so that our hearts are truly prepared for that moment when we come to meet the Lord Jesus face to face, whether it's at the end of our life, or if that second coming should come during our lifetime, whenever that be. The third coming of Christ, so to speak, is His daily coming into your life. When we come closer to the Lord, we see Him come daily in our work, in our home, in our families, in our prayer time, in the way that we relate with others at school or in all the practical details, the way we smile, and even the way that we reflect Christ to others by our love, by our kindness, by our good cheer. We learn to speak to God throughout the day and see Him in the ordinary circumstances where we might be tempted to overlook the working of God's grace and presence in our lives. That's the third coming, we might say. Every day, right now, in this moment here, He wants to speak to you. Is your heart open for that coming, that Advent, even now? How else should we go deeper and deeper into Advent through these three comings of Christ? How can we live Advent more? Just a few more brief reflection points here. Advent is known as what's called a penitential season, and it's not as penitential as Lent, but nevertheless, there's a focus on purifying our hearts to love God and our neighbor better, to be more humble, more generous, more patient, more loving, to be more forgiving perhaps, especially to those who have hurt us deeply, to pray for those in need. It's a time to distance ourselves from what makes it hard to love others, whether that be our spouse, our children, our parents, those at our work, in class, wherever it is. This is the type of penance that God wants, a penance that purifies our hearts to love more generously. So it's not just about eating less, but perhaps maybe if you notice you're eating in an unwise way, maybe you only eat when you're hungry, and you eat what's a little better for you so you can have that energy to love others. Or maybe you go, you know what, I've got a bit of a problem with social media. I think I spend a little too much time on it. So maybe during Advent you have a practice of, I'm going to limit myself to 10 minutes a day, because I realize after that it really stops being fruitful in my life. Or maybe there's other bad habits in your life that maybe when you really take stock, you say, I really want to work on that. I really want to get rid of this addiction, of this impure habit I've had a hard time breaking, of all these things that maybe make me agitated or less patient with others. The scripture says that obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience to God's will is a better sacrifice than all the fasting and sacrifice you can do. And so, what is it that the Lord Jesus is inviting you deeper into in this Advent, this time of grace? God invites us to love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to focus on the salvation of our soul. Our souls will last forever. We have immortal, eternal souls made in the image and likeness of God. And their destination for all eternity depends on our free will response to God in loving generosity and the surrender of our hearts. And if we say that we don't want to follow God, we can cut ourselves off from that grace and even our eternal salvation. And so, as Venerable Archbishop Fulton Sheen once said, unless souls are saved, nothing is saved. Our soul, Christ, these things must come first during our Advent time. So, as we reflect and prepare to go into this grace-filled season, we reflect that the changes we make are not meant to be ones that maybe we'll just go back to doing before. If I want to change my habits, I want them to stay after this season, into Christmas, into the new year, deeper and deeper and deeper into that spiral of the joy of a deeper relationship with the Lord who loves us and gives us the peace that the world cannot give. And if we're searching for that peace and a deeper relationship with God, one great way to do it is to come back to the Sacrament of Reconciliation, especially if it's been a long time. I know Father Ian and Bishop Eustrichy are very merciful, and I would say that pretty much every priest I've gone to has been so gentle and merciful and kind. And I know that when I went again for the first time after a decade, I felt this peace and this weight lifted off my shoulders. What a great way to go deeper into that love and mercy of God, his steadfast love that endures forever and wants to wrap us and embrace us in his unconditional love to heal us as we prepare the way of the Lord this season. And so just as the Lord used St. John the Baptist and worked in his life in a special way, he wants to do so with you. And so let me ask you to reflect on this upcoming week. Are you open and close enough to God to hear him speak those words of comfort, peace, love, and guidance that you so desperately need? How can I go deeper with God in the different areas of my life during this Advent, so that I can be aware of his three comings, prepared for them, and love him better than ever before? God bless you.